We're in the outdoor living segment of Rosie on the House. We do have a three-day weekend coming up around the corner, Memorial Day weekend. This segment of Rosie on the House is being sponsored by Superlight Bell Guard. And this is something y'all need to know about for the three-day weekend coming up. They've got a spring cleaning sale at their manufacturing plant. It is open to the public. It is only one day, Saturday, May 7th. That's next Saturday from 6 a.m. to noon. One day, one location, open to the public, up to 80% off. If you've got a landscaping or hardscaping project you'd like to get done over the Memorial Day, you're not going to travel, you're not going to get on the roads, you're not going to risk your life like that, you want to spend the time creating some value in your yard or your house, get over to the spring cleaning sale at Superlight Bell Guard. It's on North 42nd Avenue, right here in Phoenix, 4601 North 42nd Avenue, up to 80% off. Now, you can buy enough there to give yourself several three-day weekends of work.
I've got plenty of projects in mind for that list, too. I'm waiting for the materials list to get published so I know which one of the projects I'm going to attack first.
How many pallets you're picking up?
You know, there's something, always something new. We get tons of press releases each week at Rosie on the House. But this one was worth grabbing off the print and bringing. Have you seen this grafted ketchup and fries plant?
I have. One of the suppliers we buy from has those available. We've kind of been on a wait and see with those for the last couple of years. So I'd love to hear a report from somebody that's actually grown one.
This is a tomato plant grafted onto a rootstock of a potato, or vice versa, but you grow potatoes and tomatoes off the same rootstock. And I didn't realize they were both part of the same family. So they grow well, and it's a new potatoes and fries. And let me
Is that the nightshade family, John?
Yes, they are both nightshades, which is an interesting family of plants, since you know there's some poisonous aspects to that family as well. And actually the plant part of a tomato is slightly poisonous, but so they can, since they're compatible, they can be grafted, and they've been doing a lot of stuff with grafted tomatoes besides, but now they're grafting a tomato plant on top of a potato. I guess my concern is, though, to harvest the potatoes, you'd have to dig it up, so I'm not sure how you get, without damaging the plant, you just wait till all the tomatoes are ripe and pick them and then dig it up and harvest and hope you got potatoes. I'm not sure. In theory, it certainly works.
I got all excited thinking you could just put anything together. Hey, we could do this and that. It's really
ketchup
and fries. Same family.
They got to be compatible. They got to be in the same, you know, family so that you can graft. So you can't graft, you know, an orange onto an apricot.
Well, darn.
But you can, you know, bud, you know, certain varieties of fruit trees, like different citrus together, and certain different stone fruits that are related you can do together. But, yeah, no, you can't put a tomato plant on a zucchini.
I called one of the companies that makes these, that Territorial Seed Company out of Oregon, and they also have an albino pineberry strawberry. So it's a white strawberry with red seeds. But it has to be, you have to plant it in pairs with a regular strawberry in order for it to pollinate, but it'd be kind of fun for a party.
One more weird thing coming out of Portland.
Yeah, yes, sir.
On this ketchup and fries plant, this will give you an idea of where it was originally invented when you read the line. The first introduction last year was a smashing success.
Well, they're sold out when you go to the seed company. You said you've had some, Jay. Do they sell quickly?
No, we have a supplier that had offered them.
Just wait to see. Try
them yet. But,
what do they call this plant?
Tomato and ketchup.
Oh, that's the name of
ketchup
the plant.
Ketchup and fries.
Ketchup and fries.
Oh, sorry. You're right. Ketchup and fries.
Interesting.
All right. Well, if somebody tries one out, let us know how it works. Yeah.
Now all they need to do is graft a Big Mac.
With the
Well, you know, you need the pickles and the
Thousand Island dressing.
We need to graft up a hamburger plant.
Yeah.
One day, maybe one day. Let's run to Saddlebrook and bring Jim into the conversation. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Listen, you guys have recommended the live oak tree. I've heard on your program many times. And recently we moved into a house here that's got three of them in the backyard. And they're mature. And those dadgum things have never stopped dropping leaves in the 9 months that we've owned this property. Is something wrong with the trees, or is this something I'm just going to have to put up with?
Well, you say never, and trees that are evergreen trees that hang on to their leaves year-round do drop leaves pretty much year-round, some. Now, live oaks usually change their leaves out in the spring. They just kind of finished doing that as they push a lot of new growth. They do lose a lot of leaves in, you know, March, early April, and that's probably when they're at their worst. So it's going to get better the rest of the year from here, but, you know, in theory, you're always going to lose a few, off of that. So my biggest concern is if you have three live oaks in one yard, and there's no way they're mature yet because you haven't lived there long enough.
That's got to be a pretty big yard.
The trees are 28 years old.
I'm sorry?
The trees are 28 years old. The house is an old house.
You got a big yard then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fantastic. Well,
if they're 28 years old, that just sounds like natural leaf drop.
You know, I mean, what are they dropping onto? Gravel, grass? What do you have around them?
It's almost all gravel.
Well, don't let it bother you. Let them drop in the gravel and kind of mulch around the tree and... You know, we've got one in the middle of a nursery over here, and so we've got a big layer of leaves around in places, and we just kind of let it lie. I think it looks pretty good, you know, like a mulch or a bark laying on top of the ground. So I guess it depends on how neat and tidy you want things to be.
We appreciate the call. Congratulations on the new home. Property in Saddlebrook, big enough to put three live oaks on. That's a
nice piece of property.
That's a nice piece of property with a pretty view and a pretty area. For the Southern Arizona homeowners this weekend at Magic Garden, starting here in about 20 minutes, Tony Serra, your local Horty guy, will be giving a free class on growing fruit trees and berries. And then tomorrow, it's at 11 a.m. Now, that's National Garden in the Nude Day, so I'd call ahead, just make sure it's going to be kid-appropriate, you know. I know. Tony wouldn't do that. The following week, he's going to be doing insect control and then summer watering coming up on June 1st. That's we've actually, of all the topics we've covered today so far in this hour, we've gotten the most texts on people wanting more information on gardening in the new day. So there's a Wikipedia link I've just been sending back. You can. I'm not so curious. I am curious by nature, but that's really a topic I don't want more information on.
No,
so
exactly.
I'll send you the link. You can do your own self-education. We talked bees a couple of weeks ago and got a lot of response and a lot of people more curious to join and learn more about it. If you really, really are so inclined to get involved in it, there's a 4-day class. Now you got to go to Seven Springs, Pennsylvania, but Mother Earth News Institution has a Bee Culture Magazine 4-day event. You can find it at MotherEarthNews.com. If you really want to get into bees, I would think you'll probably learn as much in that 4 days as you could anywhere else.
I would imagine.
We had
That's something you'd have to really be careful on garden in the nude day is bees.
Oh yeah.
We can go a lot of places with this topic, can't
yeah.
We?
That's where you have your hives at arm's reach, where you don't ever have to bend down. We got an email on someone wanting to know how to get rid of goat heads around their home. That's back to our pre-emergent topic, getting ahead of the problem before it exists.
Well, explain what a goat head is.
Well, goat head's a little, you know, bull head, goat head. It's the
You know it when you step on it.
Oh, I know what they are. I know what they are.
It's the seed off of a weed. The common name is puncture vine. It's got another good name for it. And if you ever were a kid growing up here and you had a bicycle, you probably fixed a lot of tubes because you ran over puncture vine with your bicycle. It's got sharp little points on the seed head comes to a little, the seed comes to little points, and man, they are really, really super sharp. And so if you step on them, or dogs get them in their paws, or they get them attached to their fur, they're really a nuisance. Now, depending on where they're growing, it is a broadleaf weed. So if it's in a grass lawn, you can use a broadleaf weed spray and not damage your lawn. Or if they're in gravel, you can use a non-selective weed and grass killer. But you're right, Romy, the best way is to try and prevent those to begin with. So applications of pre-emergent herbicide products a couple times a year should take care of that.
I actually found some completely organic way to take care of them. That little weed flamethrower I have?
Yes, sir.
When you can identify that plant very, very easy. In my yard, you can't mistake it for anything else that's growing. As you see it just sprout the ground, you just hit it with like a three-second blast with that dragon fire-breathing weed eater, and it no chemicals, no nothing, man, and that plant will die. It won't. And you get it when it's about the size of a quarter, and it hasn't generated any of those bullheads yet.
I think Rosie has actually sown some seed for that in his yard just so he can go.
I am really, really enjoying my flamethrower. I'll tell you, we use it all the time. And a lot of times I'll do the DuraZone area to kind of clean up a little grass and everything. And then I'll, when it's dead, then I'll burn it all up.